Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 5th of August, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. And since it is Thursday, I am here with your friend and mine, Dr. Mac himself, Bob Levitis. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly. Happy Thursday.
And happy Thursday to you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Somebody did write in and give us feedback about half price margaritas. So first of all, hi, Lauren. And second of all, yes, half price margaritas all day Thursday. We don't judge.
All day Thursday. That's why we do this. That's what makes us tick.
That said, today we have a bit of old business to talk about. So let's go ahead and do that. We're revisiting a previous topic.
Okay, let's do it. All right, so when last we spoke about ergonomic keyboards, yes. I told you I'm in love with the Microsoft ergonomic keyboard called the Natural Ergonomic Keyboard 4000. Now, it's really important that you remember that name. Ready? Mm-hmm. Microsoft Natural Ergonomic Keyboard 4000. Five words, right?
Yes, because if Microsoft is good at anything, it's product names.
It's out of production now, and it's becoming rare and expensive. So remember that name. Now, what they did, I thought was kind of sleazy. They replaced it with the similarly named Microsoft Ergonomic Keyboard, which at first glance looks almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's priced the same.
Okay.
And, anyway, so since I couldn't find any more of the Natural Ergonomic Keyboard 4000s, I ordered one of these new ones. And while it looks and feels a lot like the old one, it's not the same.
Shenanigans.
No, I know.
I believe we can upgrade this to shenanigans.
Well, the new model has a slightly different key layout and some smaller keys than the original. I could live with either of those, quote, improvements or progressions. That would be okay, but there are also a couple of new and annoying modifier keys that, on your Mac, can't be reprogrammed, apparently, and type an empty box every time you put your finger on them. So, yeah, it's like all of a sudden you've got two extra keys down at the bottom that you keep hitting by accident. And every time you do, a box appears in the text you're typing. Not good. And I looked for answers. I'm like, I could probably, we can reprogram them in the keyboard system preference. Oh, wait, it doesn't recognize those keys. They have weird symbols on
them. That's even worse.
Not. Yeah. Wait. Maybe I can do it with, I don't know. Let's try text expander. Let's try to expand that into something. No, that won't work. How about Keyboard Maestro? Nope. Nothing. I looked at a lot of ways to get around this and make that key just become null.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I could think of was to pull off the keycap and disable the key. And pull its wires out. Yeah, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
So I find it hard to recommend the new model. And
that's a very diplomatic way to put it.
Yes. That I find it hard to recommend it.
Yes.
Here's the thing. If you're just getting into the ergonomic keyboard thing, and you could train your fingers never to touch those stupid keys that I can't figure out how to block. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd like it, because other than that, it has the right... It feels like it uses the same keycaps and whatever they call those things, that make it bounce right. They feel the keys feel about the same. Yeah,
the
keycaps
switches,
the switches feel almost the same.
Oh, but okay.
If you look closely on my keyboard, the keys that are closest in, like the T and the G, are way bigger than other keys because they go under your index finger, which is bigger than, say, your pinky.
Yes.
So, the idea was they were, and the N key on the other side is molded, so you stab at it with your index finger and always hit it.
Okay.
Right? The new one didn't have these extended keys. The N and the G and the T are almost the same size as the other keys. And it mattered to me because I've been using this for 10 years. It's like my finger is just in my muscle memory. So I'm different from most people. Other people might be able to get used to the Microsoft keyboard, the new one for $60. And there may be a way around these keys that type the little boxes. I haven't found it yet, but there may be one. And if so, it wouldn't be so terrible. But until then, I don't know, you know, if you know about a comfortable ergonomic keyboard that feels awesome and improves your typing speed, please let me know which one it is.
Well, that would be me. And I have two suggestions for you. The first is the keyboard that Mr. Kelly uses all day, every day. It is the Logitech Wireless Keyboard it's the Wave. It's called the Logitech
Wave. Is this the one you sent me a picture of?
Okay. It is. And here's the reason that it's interesting. I guess I'll put it that way. Now, they do have an ergonomic keyboard that's split in the middle with the gap, that one's called the Ergo K860. And that one is a little bit more seriously ergonomic, I guess we'll call it. The other one is the keyboard by itself, I think, is called the Logitech Wave. And it's more of a it's sort of got a curve to it. It sort of looks like the other keyboards. It's the K350, they call it now. It's like a slightly different model name because there's this wireless edition of it.
It looks a lot like the Microsoft keyboard, with the exception of the little gap in the middle.
Yeah.
But I mean, the shape and the arrangement of the keys and the curve and the fact that it angles downward all appeal to me, and I may have to order one of these.
Yeah. Now, they have that one, and then the other one that they have is the one that...
That one's on sale, by the way, for $36.99, which is really... pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it really is. So it's the
one of those just in case.
And when you look at the picture at the top of the page on Logitech's website, you look at it and go, it's just slightly bent, like on a horizontal axis. But then if you scroll down a little bit, there's a picture of it from the side, and you can see that it does wave, and it is very comfortable to type on. I have typed on it. And if you do need a keypad,
a little hump. Yeah. Kind of in the middle of the space bar.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
Well, I like that.
So it's a good
that
one.
That looks good. Okay.
Yeah, $38.
Duly noted.
Right now. The keyboard I am currently typing on is the Matthias, what is it? It's the programmable. let me look
the
again.
Ergo Pro.
It's the Ergo Pro programmable keyboard from Matthias. And I'll have links to all these in the show notes. It does have programmable buttons. I don't really care so much about the programmability of it for that. But it does have, down the left-hand side, there's a little vertical row of buttons that are undo, cut, copy, and paste. So if you want those, you can just hit those on the side. But the other thing that's really cool about it is that there's a bunch of tilt up feet underneath it. So if you like it at both side to side elevation and front to back elevation, you can give it, you know, negative tilt and all that. And one thing about it, it's not wireless. So if that's a thing that you need above all others, then heads up. It is not wireless. And not only is it not wireless, but there's a cable that plugs into each side of the keyboard. It comes in two separate pieces.
Right.
So there's a little keyboard.
I'm okay with that, though, because the Microsoft keyboards we're talking about are also wired. The Logitech you just talked about isn't.
Right.
And that's, I don't mind a wired keyboard. And sometimes I feel like Well, I have to have a wired keyboard here anyway, because sometimes Bluetooth keyboards won't do some of the things that I need to do. Uh-huh. Like at startup, press a key. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that doesn't work with your Bluetooth keyboard. You have to plug something in. Yeah. So I don't mind using a wired keyboard, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure that I'd be happy switching to a wireless, but I'm not opposed to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try both of these, I think.
Okay. Well, the wireless one, here's the hitch, as usual, with Logitech devices, because it seems like this is always the catch, is they require a receiver. So there's a little
a
thing that you... Yeah, there's a little thing that you plug
dongle?
In.
Oh, really? It's yeah. not Bluetooth?
It's not Bluetooth.
See, when you buy their expensive mouse, it's Bluetooth or dongle.
Right.
Their cheap mice are dongle only, but...
Yeah, and I think this keyboard is dongle only. I couldn't find anything about the Bluetooth specs on it. So I think this one is dongle only, which explains the $37. So
yeah, that means I need one more Bluetooth, and yeah. it's a Bluetooth old style connector.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to. Yeah. I'm always a little short of
USB ports
holes.
Yeah. So the All other right. keyboard, the one of the nice things about the Matthias keyboard, and part of the reason that I am enjoying it is because I've sort of inched the separate pieces further apart, and so now like my hands are shoulder width apart, because they just come straight up, you know, straight up my sides, instead of having to hunch them in together in front of me.
Ergonomically sound.
Yeah. So, you know, and it does feel more comfortable. It was weird at first to be typing on half a keyboard at a time, but now it's working. I feel a little better about it, and it seems to be doing the job. So that's the keyboard update from here. If you have an ergonomic keyboard that Bob should try, please let us know at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Now, we have a few minutes.
I do want to say one more thing.
Yes.
And that is, my point that I was trying to make with the original column wasn't so much that you should go get an ergonomic keyboard so you can type faster. It was that anything but an Apple keyboard might help you type faster. So if you've got another keyboard, give it a try. It might be just what you need to type faster, because Apple keyboards seem to prohibit or almost be designed as if to prevent fast typing.
Yeah.
Right?
It does. Yeah. It feels a little that way sometimes. So check these out. We have a few minutes, just a couple minutes. Maybe a few.
I have one more thing.
Yes. And you have another thing to tell us about.
There is one more thing. Yes. Thank you for coming to the keynote. Under your seat, you will find a magic mouse.
A copy of iDVD.
That was not the one more thing. Nope. Sorry. This time, the one more thing is, you know, these Apple security updates that
yes.
all of a sudden just show up on your iPhone and your iPad and your Mac and stuff. They're small numbers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Often. Not always, but usually.
Usually the third, you know, digit. Like so you go from 11.4 to 11.4.1 or 0.2. That
right.
kind of thing.
Well, the latest versions are 0.1s. But here's the thing. There was one thing about them that kind of freaked me out. And that is a word or a phrase that I haven't seen on any of the descriptions of these things lately. And that mm-hmm. is these words. Apple is aware of a report that this issue may have been actively exploited. See, usually we get these security updates before that happens, before something is found in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you have the opportunity to patch your device before anybody's known to have been affected by it in public, you know,
right.
except for security researchers. In this case, they said something different. Apple said something different. And the fact that they said that kind of freaked me out. It's like, ooh, this one's already in the wild. And then, yeah. you know, couple that with the reports from a couple weeks ago that said, hey, there's an Israeli company that has a way to completely penetrate your iPhone and steal everything you do, every keystroke, every word you speak, every picture, everything. And it doesn't require social engineering. It doesn't have to trick you into installing it.
Right.
It's apparently installed just by opening a text message or something like that. And so between those two things, I'm thinking these point releases like this are probably a good idea. And this one in particular, since they're aware of this one being actively exploited, well, I wouldn't wait to install this.
Yeah, generally, if there's a security update available, you should run it because, first of all, it's just good practice. Particularly the security ones, they're very thoroughly vetted, so it's not like you're going to install a security update and it's going to brick your computer or anything like that. So those are not the ones you have to worry about generally.
Usually not.
Well, the security ones tend to be a little more focused. So it's literally like we're putting out a patch for this one particular thing. Sometimes there are some sort of vague release notes that go along with something like that. But for the most part, it's like we're doing a security update. So it's going to patch some security related issues that we have found. And like, that's all. It's not going to be like,
we don't talk about them in public.
Right. But it's not going to be, and we're also updating mail at the same time or anything like that. So it's usually pretty focused. So running those updates is usually A, not going to take very long, and B, a pretty safe bet. So you should absolutely run those. I know we're a little early for Security Friday, but that's definitely a thing to look at. And you should also keep an eye out for security updates, even if you're not on the latest operating system. Because unofficially, for years, Apple has supported the currently shipping operating system, the immediately previous operating system, and sometimes you'll get an update for the one before that. So if we're on 11 right now, then it would be 10.15 and 10.14. So if you're running Catalina or Mojave, you may also have these updates available to you. And you can tell if it's a big deal because, like, Mojave got an update, right? So they're in the process of trying to put...
They're not doing updates for Mojave that aren't vital security
that
updates,
aren't, yeah,
right? They're not improving Safari for you in Mojave, no.
Right. So just as a heads up, and you know, John and I have talked about this on the show before as well, so make sure that you, if you have security updates, you do run them. Since we're on the subject of security, if you have any security questions, if there's stuff you'd like us to dig into on Security Friday, if you have topics that you wish we would talk more about, please let us know. Just like for Bob's ergonomic keyboard recommendations, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Bob, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
As always, it was my pleasure. My extreme pleasure.
And I hope everyone else has enjoyed this round of Kelly Spends Bob's Money. And that's going to do it for us. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. And let's be careful out there.